Our Remember service is a chance for us to look back at the year and see how God has proved himself faithful. And let me tell you, 2024 was a really special year. We started off with some new partnerships and pressing into some old ones in a new way. The first thing we did was a thing called Capture the Chickens with our middle schoolers. That's an event where we combined with Salem Covenant Church and put on just a fun time of capturing chickens and shooting Nerf arrows. We continued those partnerships by doing snow camp and our fall retreat with Salem and Destino and Plymouth Covenant Churches. And those are always life-changing experiences, and this year was no different. We partnered further with Covenant Pines through Adventurous Christians by taking a group up there where we just saw this group of women really bond, and there's even someone who experienced some healing for her shoulder. After that, the Bourbonos arrived, and we celebrated the beginning of our Juntos ministry with a pastor here at Emmanuel. That same pastor and myself, Pastor Dan, got ordained in the covenant this year, and we got to celebrate together with the broader church and even with our Northwest Conference friends. We went to Juarez and served the community down there at Emmanuel Children's Home with teenagers, with adults, and across the spectrum as we engaged with our friends across the border and saw God at work. Our high school girls and some of our guys went up to the Boundary Waters, some through Adventurous Christians and some on their own, to see God move in their lives. We had our outdoor services, which are always an incredible moment for us, but also a way to show the community the church that we are. And finally, just recently, we had the chance to partner with Covenant Pines again. They offered to pay for us to come up with a group of guys and build a broomball rink. Let's hear from one of them about that experience.
Okay, so you guys got to go up to camp and build this broomball rink. How many guys were there?
There were four of us who went up from Emmanuel Covenant, and then the camp threw in a couple of guys. Once we discovered that the ground was absolutely marshy underneath and sucked the posts down once we got them in, so we brought in some backup help, and they poured a bunch of concrete in the holes. And
then you have like a big, what is it, skid
steer auger?
I know.
Yeah. Things. Oh yeah.
All right. So Dave
Neal is the master hole digger. He's like a mole in disguise, a big hairy man.
So you took a spot that had no rink and built it in like the weekend.
Yeah, went up Friday night, did some layout Friday night. That gave us some beautiful weather, and yeah. So what did we do Saturday?
What'd you do?
I was there with whatever you did. I directed Dave for a lot of digging. Yeah, Caleb thought he should be foreman, so which tracks?
He got in, he was like, I'm digging, haha. And I just stayed up there in the cold, holding a thing and putting it in.
Directing the auger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We dug a few dozen holes.
Long holes.
Put the posts in, two by tens, and screwed it together. Yeah.
Now there's a broomball rink for us and for anybody that goes up to camp.
Well, it was amazing to begin the year with those partnerships, but we also continued with some classic things that we do every year, and this year was no exception. We started off the year with teaching. We pressed into Sabbath and what that Sabbath rest looks like for us and what God's intention is for us. We talked about who Jesus is and what that means for us. We looked at pathways in our brains and our lives that can lead to flourishing and those that get in the way. We walked through the Psalms, talked about trust issues, engaged in politics, and tore down higher places. And finally, if you were here with us recently, you heard some kids sing Go Tell It on the Mountain as we looked at the joy that it is to celebrate Jesus during Advent. Amidst all of that, we continued with our small churches, these small communities where people are known and can care for one another and go deeper in Christ together. We did Bible studies. I remember walking in on a Tuesday night and seeing the men's Bible study meeting in that room in the forum and just engaging and knowing one another and digging into scripture. What an incredible opportunity. We hosted the IF gathering as people gathered to learn more about Christ. We had our donut line, which is always a place of joy, at least for my kids. And we celebrated baptisms and dedications. And we had our prayer team faithfully praying. Hear from one of those members about what it's like to be on the prayer team for this year.
Hi, my name is Maggie Rocky, and I am part of the prayer team here at Emmanuel. Being on the prayer team has been such a blessing in my life. It truly is a privilege to be able to come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, often in really difficult circumstances, and to be able to help bear their burdens and bring their requests before the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing. The counterpart to that, of course, is we also have the great joy to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice. Over the last year, the prayer team has had many opportunities to do that as well. We have seen prayers answered. We've seen healing. We've seen breakthroughs. We've seen circumstances change and mountains move in ways that really couldn't be explained by earthly means. When I consider that the Lord in his infinite wisdom and infinite power would not only allow but invite us as just ordinary believers to be part of the work that he is doing here on earth and be part of the work that he is doing in people's lives, I find that to be very humbling and also just a great joy.
Not only did we continue with some of the classics, but we went beyond the donut line to see that our people really connected and were served. We had the Bold, Joyful Living Women's Workshop, where Tina invited people into a way to experience God in their lives in a specific teaching series. We had, again, the IF Gathering, where I want to highlight it again because it was a chance for women to come together in a special way. While it's a classic we've done before, it is an opportunity to connect. We had Pie and Praise, where we come together and just worship in this room and then eat lovely pie. And you could say you're worshiping through that as well. We had weddings and funerals done by ECC pastors and even some hosted in this space as well. We had Kids Church, which just time after time faithfully serves kids, but also knows and greets them by name and invites them into a place where they're known, cared for, loved, and welcomed. We did Camp ECC, which is an incredible experience every year. And we had youth group. Hear from one of our youth group students about how this year impacted their lives.
Hello, so I'm in 10th grade, and I'm really, really grateful for all the adults at ECC team who really care about helping the students there and helping all the teens there, because I feel like nowadays adults and teens don't always have like the greatest relationships and they're sort of seen as enemies, but that really does, it really doesn't have to be that way. And I love how much the adults at ECC Teen actually care, and they put attention to, into all the little details that go into the camps and the summer trips, and I think it's really impactful that they create events that are just for us and just for our relationship with God to be better. It's really important, and it's really, really special to know that the adults actually care about helping us become closer with God, and that they let us have nice things, and that they trust us with those things, and that they are willing to put so much effort and so much time to all the little details. That's really, really special to me.
While we did all of these things, we also saw our horizons start to expand. As we look to what 2025 could look like, as we see how God has been doing something special, leading to somewhere special, consider how our horizons have expanded. We voted to expand this space, the studio, into another section so that we can do more fruitful ministry here. We invited in new members and welcomed them into our community. We added to our I Said Yes wall with name after name. We continued, as I mentioned earlier, to have baptisms and dedications and invite people, not just to those events, but through outdoor services and invitational series. Juntos is continuing to grow and will be launching new weekly services in Easter. We invited new staff. We launched MomCo, which is a moment for moms to come together and be seen and known in a regular way. And I heard some amazing stories about the way even just the first session of MomCo began. We are pressing into those things in a way that we never have before in my time at Emmanuel. We've begun with a discipleship design team, someone who's looking at what does our church need to go further in discipleship, to make this a place where people can connect and be known, but also have their needs met and grow in Christ, serving each other and the world. And we've started a visioneering team who can look to the future and say, what things do we need to head toward in order to fulfill the vision that God has given this church? Now, I mentioned we added some new staff. Let's hear from some of them, new and old, about why this year is a year of expanding horizons.
Hey, I'm Tessa Pinkstaff, and I am the new ECC care coordinator. And I just got here a few weeks ago, but even in the short time that I've been here, I have already been able to provide a variety of different kinds of care for the community. And you know what I'm most excited about? I'm excited about what God is going to do through this ministry, through the care ministry over the next year. And I'm excited about how we can expand our offerings and get more of you and the congregation involved in the kinds of care that we give and receive with each other.
Estamos tan contentos de poder ser parte de este equipo, igual que Tessa, pues somos nuevos en ECC, estamos desafiados a lo que Dios está haciendo como iglesia hispana, juntos con la iglesia americana, construyendo un ministerio bilingüe. Así que estamos muy contentos de lo que el 2025 nos trae en bendición para nuestra comunidad. Por favor, abramos las puertas de los corazones para que muchas personas sean parte de este gran ministerio y Dios nos está llamando a que podamos estar juntos, porque juntos somos más.
As we look into the future, we can see the edges of God doing something special. We saw this past year Him doing something special and beginning some things, but this next year could be even more so. As you think of your own life, as you consider what God has done in this past year, have you thought about what it would look like for Him to do something special in this next year as well? I want to invite you to take a moment. Consider how God has shown up. If you're willing, take a pen or a pencil on a piece of paper and actually write down, where has God been faithful in your life this year? What hard things has God walked you through in the past 12 months? Where are moments that you received unexpected blessings that could only have come from the Lord? And what things might He be inviting you to walk into in this new year so that He can do something even more special in and through you? Take a moment to pause and do that now. As we continue to worship, as we press into these songs, and as we hear from God's word, continue to keep in mind that He's doing something special here at Emmanuel and in your life as well.
Well, hey, thank you so much for all of you who helped take and pull together all those pictures and stories for that looking back section of this service. It is so important for us to take a moment before we get ahead and look to where we're going to be able to look back and absolutely celebrate what God has already been doing. You know, we had some technical difficulties when we were filming this section of the service here. But right now, I'm really glad that we did. I'm really glad because Kira, I'm really glad that you stepped up to help. Because as we look back, you know, we've said this before, you grew up with this church. Kira was born right around the time that we founded Emmanuel. And so over the 17 years that we've been a part of a church, we've been able to watch this amazing young woman grow up and become the person you are. And while that's been happening, we've also then been maturing as a church. For the last 17 years, as we've looked ahead to where we're going, I've said this so many times. I've often said, we're building something special. And now, as I was preparing for this particular service and doing a whole lot of reflecting on that, I realize I should have been saying something different. In fact, you're going to have to help me with this because I've been saying something for 17 years, and now I'm going to try to amend it. But I think this is a more accurate statement. If you're taking notes, actually, I'd invite you to write this down. It shouldn't be, we're building something special. It should be, He's building something special. And 2024 was a great reminder of that. For example, our middle school fall retreat. So many of you have heard so many of the stories, and 100 of us were up there for this. And what do we see when we look up back on something that special? We really see that it was Him. I mean, you look back, who was it that opened up the entire camp for us during COVID? For not just one weekend, but two. And then who was it that had, in His timing, had this brand new chapel open up just as we were outgrowing the other chapel or other space that we had been using? We had so many gifted leaders up there. Who is it that gives these gifts? to build his church. And when you think about from the very foundations, it's his gospel that we shared at the communion service. And it's his Spirit that opens up hearts and opens up minds for people to respond the way they did. And when they responded, there was so much joy in that room. So there's an example. You look back, and it really is he who's building something really, really special. Another example of this we can look back on in 2024 is Juntos, the new bilingual ministry that was not part of a strategic plan that we've had for years and years and years. But it's already proven to be something really, really special. As this vision to reach one of the fastest growing mission fields in the United States unfolded, this Juntos vision, as it unfolded, we were told, this is the vision for the future. This is what needs to happen. And then maybe some of you remember what also we were told, good luck finding the pastor, because there's so few people that are doing this. And I'll never forget this. I'll never forget the feeling in the room when our search team, we got done having our interview with Pastor Henry and Olgita, this Zoom interview from their house down in Houston. I remember we had done with that interview and just looking at each other going, do we really need to continue the search or even talk about this? Because it was so clear that they were the right people for this moment. That is not something we could have orchestrated. It's something that God was doing. He's building something really, really special. This studio is another example of something that we never set out to do, but we can see how this was part of his plan, and he had the people in place, he had the resources in place, all these things to do this. Well, now in 2024, we had this decision to make because the wall adjacent, the suite adjacent to this one, was opening up. Now, in some situations, that might feel like a no-brainer. You're like, hey, this seems like the timing is perfect, but here's the thing. We have also committed as a church family to the biggest, boldest budget in our history, including the aforementioned investments we're making in our young people, including the aforementioned investments that we're making in this new Juntos initiative. So we didn't want to just do something foolish. We didn't want to just take on something that we couldn't afford. And we decided, let's have a town hall meeting. Let's pull together the church family. Let's do what we've done so many times in the past. Let's say, here's a decision before us, church family. Let's look this, think this through. Let's look at the facts. Let's count the cost. And then let's discern the next steps together. So as I was preparing for that meeting, I felt led to a scripture, one that came to mind, where it talks about counting the cost for building a tower. I couldn't remember the address for that verse, so I did a quick keyword search on Bible Gateway, typed in counting the cost, typed in building a tower, and it brought me to Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. Now, even if you don't normally open up your Bibles to the passages we're talking about, I want to invite you to do it this time, because I want to just show you the little journey that I was brought on and led along when I looked up this passage. And if you don't have a Bible at home, you can hit pause right now, go to Bible.com. They've got an amazing free Bible app that you can download. All right, so here is where I started when I had done that keyword search. It brought me to verses 28 through 30, where it says, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" All right, so it appeared on the surface. This is a great verse right here that addresses what we're talking about. It's super on the nose. Let's calculate the cost of the expansion. Let's take a look at the family budget. Let's see if those numbers add up. Well, as I was reflecting on that verse a little bit and starting to go down that path, I believe I heard the Holy Spirit whisper, not out loud, but in here, what's the context? What's the context for those verses? So I just backed up a little bit, and I looked at what comes before it. So here's what it says in verses 26 and or 25 and 26. "Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. That's what it says right before this whole part of building a tower. Now, that language might trip you up a little bit. We need to talk about that for just a second. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. This section of the Bible was written in Greek. And the Greek language, as I was digging in this text and looking what the scholars had to say, they said the Greek word that's used here doesn't mean the same thing as the English word hate. When we think of hate, we think of it as an aggressive feeling directed at this person. What it meant in that time and that place was you don't love something more than you should. So it's rightly ordering family. And Jesus is saying something as important as family shouldn't be higher than your devotion to him. It says your own life shouldn't be something higher of devotion than him. And if you think that's not strong enough, look what it says, the very next verse. This is the verse that connects what we just read to what we read earlier, verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, in our culture, people wear crosses as jewelry. We see crosses in places of worship. What was a cross in that time and that place? It was one of the most horrific forms of execution and torture imaginable. Jesus says, you don't take one of these up and follow me. You can't be my disciple. And Jesus himself, Jesus of Nazareth, what did he do? He literally took up a cross out of his devotion to us. Okay, all of this comes right before the section we read about counting the cost. Do you want to see what comes right after? Take a look at this, verse 33. So, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce what? Not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's the context for this little passage about counting the cost. The section of scripture that I felt led to originally, it's not, hey, here's how you build a tower. The main point of that section of scripture is, here's what it looks like to be a disciple. In context, Jesus used the strongest language possible. In that time, in that place, there is no higher devotion than your devotion to your family. In any time, pretty much, and any place, there's no price that seems higher than your own life. Jesus used the strongest language possible to describe what it means to follow him, what it means to be a disciple of his. Discipleship, as Jesus describes it, it is a complete reordering of our lives and our loves around the way of Jesus. That's what it is. And what a great time of the year for those of us who claim to be followers of his to reflect and say, you know what? Is that what my devotion to him looks like? Is that the way I'm ordering my life, ordering my loves as individuals, as families, and as a church? In our culture, we're often going to be tempted to approach our faith as a consumer of music, messages, programs, or as an add-on, something that we want to just add on to our lives rather than that which we build our lives around, or something that gets our leftovers instead of our first and best, and also something that, hey, I'm in trouble, let me just cry out to God for help. That's how our culture has been pulling us for a long, long, long time. Let's count the cost of that. Let's count the cost of taking something that Jesus says is like this and making it like something else. I'm reading a book right now by a guy, he's younger than me, and after describing how a million people from his generation, a million people a year are walking away from the faith, he says this, what if this crisis of discipleship is a feature of evangelicalism, not a bug? What if it's exactly what we should expect based on how many people understand the gospel? I mean, looking back, I've shared this before. I mean, that's exactly the kind of faith that I was ready to walk away from, something that did not seem consistent with what Jesus was saying. But the faith I was ready to walk away from, again, that's not what Jesus is describing in Luke 14. What Jesus is describing is more like this, Think of a leader of a great expedition forging a way through a high and dangerous mountain pass to bring urgent medical aid to villagers cut off from the rest of the world. If you want to come any further, the leader says, you got to leave your packs behind. From here on, the path is going to be too steep to carry all that stuff, and you probably won't find it again. And you better send your last postcards home now. This is a dangerous route, and it's very likely that several of us won't make it back. We can understand that. We may not like the sound of it, but we can see why it would make sense. All right, let me give you one more piece of context for Luke 14, and then let's talk about how we're going to live this out as a church family heading into 2025. After Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship in chapter 14, you know what comes next? I can't believe when I was going to that passage, I can't believe I didn't remember this context. What comes next is chapter 15. What is chapter 15? All of chapter 15 are three stories that Jesus tells. And all of those back-to-back-to-back stories, all three of them, all have the same storyline. Something of great value is lost. Something of great value is found. And when that thing of great value is found, there's a lot of joy. Three back-to-back stories, all with the same storyline, all told by Jesus. Jesus invites us to join us in his work. And that storyline is so linked to this. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. We're invited to join our Creator in the kind of work that brings angels joy. That's the kind of work. Why is discipleship so costly? What's on the line? We are working for the kind of things that bring angels joy. Now, haven't talked to a whole lot of angels, so I don't know what their daily life is like, but I'd imagine there's lots of opportunities for them to be joyful in their state. What's the kind of thing that brings them joy? The kind of thing that Jesus highlights and says, this is what really gets them really, really jazzed. It's when people who are hurting, people who are walking the wrong direction that is not taking them where they're wanting to go, when people who feel alone, when people who feel just guilt and shame, all of these things, when people who are in that state are welcomed home, that's what brings the angels' joy. One of our elders, Jeff House, he was serving at that retreat that I mentioned earlier. And as he came back and we were having our elder board meeting after this event, Jeff said, you know, there's joy and there's hype. He said, what I saw there at that retreat, it was joy. It was joy. Why am I putting up that story here? Because I don't know anybody that worked harder than Jeff. Kira, do you know anybody that worked harder than Jeff? He was getting like 1-2 hours of sleep or whatever at night. He worked so hard. If you asked Jeff, was it worth it? He would be, yes, it was absolutely worth it. Because he was investing in the kind of thing that brings real deep joy. And isn't that the example that Jesus set himself? What does it say? Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him. That's why Jesus endured the cross. He gets it. He really gets it. Okay, let's bring all this full circle. All this full circle. When I opened to Luke 14 before that town hall meeting, I was asking a question. I was asking the question, God, are you in this? I mean, are you in this? Before we do it, are you in this? The answer I thought I heard back was, are you? Are you? Meaning, are you as a church? Because you already know the answer. I'm in this. This place, just on Wednesday nights alone, it is filling up so much. God is at work. He's doing something really, really special in our young people. For that reason alone, we got to expand. He's in this. But are we? Because it's not just going to happen on its own. And the math doesn't just add up if we just keep doing what we're doing. There's a cost. Are we in? He's at work. He's building something special. Will we join him in it? Looking back, we've never felt ready for these big things he sent our way. Never. We didn't feel ready when it came time to plant a new church. We didn't feel ready to make the jump from Chippewa Middle School to Community Center. We didn't feel ready to go from one service there to two. We didn't feel ready to lease an office space and take on all that expense. We didn't feel ready to lease this studio. But when we pray like God invites disciples to pray, when we invite like God invites disciples to invite, when we give the way God invites disciples to give, when we serve the way God invites disciples to serve, Together, we build things that are really, really special because they're the kind of things that aren't superficial. They're the kind of things that bring angels joy. In this next season, we already know. We don't have to pray about this anymore. We already know God is at work in at least five areas. One, we're calling it strengthen our core. Two, we're calling it next level, next gen. Three, we're calling it join the Juntos Pioneers. Four, we're calling it rebuild an oasis of hope in Juarez. And then there's the studio expansion plus, we're going to call it. The question isn't, is he in these things? We already see he's building something special in each of these areas. The question is, are we going to join him in his work? Will it be hard? Yes. Will it be messy? Yes. Will it be costly? Yes. It always is. Work that matters always is. But a year from now, will we look back and be glad we did? Yes. 2 years from now? 10 years from now? Yes. Because there's nothing like investing our best in the kind of things that bring angels joy. Now, you may have noticed when we put those things up on the screen, there were checkboxes. We didn't number them one through five. There were checkboxes there. The reason we put a checkbox there is because as we head into 2025, we're going to ask you to prayerfully consider which one. Which one are you in on? Which one are you going to check and say, I'm in. I want to join God in his work, and this is the one where I really want to focus my attention. Really quickly, here's what these things are. The first one we call strengthen our core. That's about this church that God's building. This is about doing those fundamental, those key things that help this church, which was his idea, get stronger, because that affects everything else we do. So it's about things like being on one of our Sunday teams or our studio church teams. It's about strengthening our ministries to men and women. It's about Bible studies and small groups and special events and prayer teams and care teams. It's about elder boards and nominating committees, meetings and administrative and financial teams. It's about new teams like our discipleship design team, visionary team. It's the kind of stuff that makes us stronger as a body. Next level, next gen. That one is about taking a pace-setting ministry for kids and teens and bringing it to a whole nother level. Joining our Juntos Pioneers. It's about joining those who are, they are on the frontiers. I'm telling you, this ministry, it's on the frontiers of what God is doing. That's an option. There's also rebuilding an oasis of hope in Juarez. Juarez, Mexico, one of the toughest cities you'll ever go to. It's a reason why when it's in the news, it's really never good. Building an oasis of hope. They had a devastating fire that knocked out most of their buildings. They lost their founder in COVID. We want to be good friends and really help them rebuild an oasis of hope. And then there's studio expansion plus. Those doors open up in January. We're not going to put a lot of extra work right then because we're doing a whole lot of other things, but be listening this spring because what we're going to do this spring, we're going to build a lead team. We're going to clarify a vision, prioritize a project, raise some funds, recruit some volunteers, and we're going to get to work building something really special on that other side of the wall there. Now, for the record, those of you who are saying, what about Blameless Project? We haven't forgotten about that. We're just consciously choosing to hit pause right now as we focus on these five things. In 2025, we're inviting everyone to select one of those five areas where we see God at work and join him in it. What does that look like? It looks like pray, as disciples were taught to pray. It looks like invite, as disciples were invited to invite. It looks like give, as disciples are invited to give. It looks like serve, as disciples are invited to serve. And we'll be talking more and more about that as time goes on. Well, I am beyond excited. I am beyond excited for what's ahead. And I can't wait for Kira and I to be in this room a year from now, looking back, right? Looking back and going, look what he did. That was worth it. Well, we're going to close and seal our time together here with an amazing song that reminds us of who God is and the fact that he is worthy of our first and our best. And then we're going to pray and dedicate this next season to him.